Joining us now is Larry Harper. And Larry, I told the audience a lot about you. The book is An Accidentally Amazing Life. I've seen you in the press box for a long time, but it's a book that explains a life of perseverance and hard work and where you got. Tell us a little bit about why the book and a little bit about your life, how you got to this spot.
Well, thanks, Marty. The book was really designed to kind of inspire young people, high school, college age people, to, you know, it takes time now to figure things out, I think, much more than it probably was in our day, where, you know, you went to college and you knew what you wanted to do and you went out and did it. And I think, you know, it's encouraging kids, don't be, you know, find the pressure of trying to pick a career at age 17 or 18 and let your life experiences kind of guide you. And for me, it was, the take on the title of the book was back when I was in Little League, my last year of Little League in 1972, I had kind of three very unique, inspirational people in my life. First and foremost, growing up in Southern California, having the pleasure of listening to Vin Scully every single night on my transistor radio really formed just such a love and passion for the game of baseball. And then I had a couple other people. I had this poster of Sandy Koufax on my wall, which was painted by an artist named Leroy Neiman, who's the most collected and popular artist in American history. And then my first album I bought, which was the number one song back in 1972, was School's Out by Alice Cooper. And the book kind of tells how all three of those men become very close personal friends of mine and impact my life, both in baseball and out of baseball. So it's kind of a book about hard work and how hard work and karma and perseverance and fate can take you on your life's path, which for me was baseball for many years and now is a life of service.
Well, I think it's wonderful. Larry Harper is with us. Tremendous book and a lot of good accolades on the back of the book cover from a lot of people in the Bay Area talking about it. An Accidentally Amazing Life. You know, it's funny you said something about how your life experience kind of takes you on the path and you go with it. And if you looked at my life, every 15 years from the time I was about 18 to now, you'd say, what? He's doing what? And it is funny how life does take you different places. And I think that's part of it. If you have good habits, I always tell people, show up on time, dress appropriately, learn how to read and write, pay your bills, and play well with others. You can get along in life. And that's sort of what I tell people as they ask me questions.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's a good thing. You know, people think you have to do one thing. And I mean, I grew up loving baseball, and the book kind of entails my travels and how I worked hard to become a success in professional baseball. But now I have a career in community service and founding the Good Tidings Foundation 24 years ago. But even now, I think there's probably a third thing out there. You know, I'm almost 60, and there's a third thing. And like you said, every 15 years, I think that's a good way to look at it because it keeps you fresh. It keeps your mind thinking. You're always dreaming. You know, you dream as a kid, but I think you got to dream as you get older. And it may or may not happen, but it's nothing wrong with thinking, you know, what's the next thing? And I think that's a healthy approach to life for sure.
Absolutely. Well, part of the book that I was just amazed at was your rise through the baseball community, especially with the San Francisco Giants. And it was meteoric how things happened. I mean, really. And I remember seeing you in the press box, and you and I didn't talk much, but I always saw you. But to know the career you had, why don't you go through that a little bit, how that happened, and that'll be one good example of perseverance and being in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, once I figured out, you know, I wanted to take a try at baseball, I coached in Southern California for about 4 or 5 years at the college level. And every winter or every year, I wrote letters to big league teams. And back then, there was no internet. So you typed on a typewriter, your old-fashioned way, a letter, and you drop it in the mail, and you mail it to the scouting director and the minor league director of all the teams, and you get a letter back, and almost every time it was thanks but no thanks, and we'll keep your letter on file. That went on for 5 years, and like I say in the book, I ended up with 120 of these letters of rejection, but I kept them all, you know, because to me, when I got the first one back, and the first one happened to be back from the Giants, I thought, you know, I was honored actually to get a letter back. You know, I love baseball so much, and so I kept the letters and I referenced them, and for 5 years I kept writing teams. And then 1 year, the baseball winter meetings, I remember back, you know, not too long ago, there was no avenue for young people to get into the game. You either were the next player and you got an opportunity, and if you weren't an next player, which I wasn't, you didn't have an opportunity to get in. And now there's so many great ways for young people to get in. But so I asked my parents for Christmas, would you send me to San Diego for the winter meetings? And they got me a room for a couple nights at the glamorous Vagabond Inn on Hotel Circle, which was across the street from the hotel where the Town and Country, where the winter meetings were at. And, you know, I went around and figured out a way to introduce myself to as many baseball executives as I could. And I did that by back then they put the hotel messages. When a person would get a message, they'd hang it on your doorknob of your door. And so different executives would be calling different executives and leaving messages, and they put the message on the door. And so I'd read the name, you know, and there's, and I know this name and that name. And so I jotted down all these executives' names, and I had their room numbers, went back to my hotel room, typed them all a letter, dropped it off at the front desk, and let them know that I was available to meet with them that day. Now, I didn't get the job that year, but those are the sort of the things. I think anybody that's successful along the way, you kind of put your own spin on things. There's not, it's not the by the book approach in anything you do in life. And I think, you know, you figure out your own little spin that works for you. And that was my way of kind of getting my foot in the door. And for a non-baseball guy, to get a job, and finally the Giants gave me an opportunity to be their scout in Southern California at age 27, which was young in those days. And then a year later, up to San Francisco to be the scouting director. And that was the 89-90 season, that back in the Earthquake World Series days. So it was very, once I got in, it was meteoric, as you said, but, you know, things were meant to be. And I was very fortunate. I just, you know, growing up in L.A. as a Dodger fan, you don't necessarily like the Giants, but then you get up there and you become an employee of the Giants, especially now. I just think they're the premier organization, which starts from Larry Bear on down, just the way they do everything. And so, yeah, things really worked out.
Oh, it's amazing. As I always say in life, when you get your pitch, don't miss it. And you got your pitch and you didn't miss it. My radio career was the same thing. I just went to a little station, said I'd like to try a show, and had never done it before, and brought my own style to it. And one thing led to another, and next thing you knew, I was doing a pregame show in the big leagues. So who knows? But it is perseverance, and it's preparation, I think, is very important. So this leads us to the Good Tidings Foundation. Tell us about that.
Well, it was interesting. In 1994, you'll remember it was a great year for baseball. The Expos looked like they were going to probably get to the World Series, and Tony Gwynn might have hit 400. Matt Williams was headed to break the home run record, and the World Series was canceled. And I just couldn't believe. I thought, well, they'll never cancel the World Series, but they did. And I was a scout at the time, and I thought, well, what happens when I was a kid if the World Series was canceled? Would it affect me in a negative way? Would I never even be a fan? Would I lose interest in the game? So I wanted to do something positive. And so I wrote a children's book, and then I quickly realized, well, no one's going to buy a children's book from Larry Harper, because who is he? So I wrote a letter to my childhood idol, Vin Scully, and gave it to a friend of mine who was the bullpen coach of the Dodgers, Mark Cressy. He handed it off to Vin Scully, and 2 days later, there's a voicemail on my message machine at home. Vin Scully, Larry, this is Vin Scully. I would be honored to be a part of this project to help shade a positive light on baseball to kids and to raise money for youth charities. So I quickly was trying to figure out which one of my friends was doing a Vin Scully imitation, because I just thought there's no way. This man is leaving me a message, and he's a very, and I've come to find out, as you know, very private man, never really authorized anything, books, movies, or anything. And here he is wanting to be a part of the project and write the foreword. So needless to say, the book was a huge success with him involved. We raised lots of money for youth charities. And that's when I realized really my calling in life was to be a missionary for kids. And the most thing we're known about for Good Tidings Foundation, which was born out of this book, is that we partner with every professional sports team in the Bay Area, Northern California, and build facilities for them. And we are up to 185 athletic facilities now. And we're looking forward to a really great project with the Giants, a full baseball academy in San Francisco that hopefully we'll start building here soon.
Wow, terrific. Congratulations. Now, if someone wanted to get a copy of the book, how do you? What's the best way to get it?
Two ways. Obviously, Amazon. You just type in the title of the book at Amazon, An Accidentally Amazing Life, or my name. Or you can look up the Good Tidings Foundation at goodtidings.org and buy one directly from us. 100% of the money goes right to the Good Tidings Foundation.
Very good. Well, pleasure having you on, and you tell a good story as well. And from being a scout to the scouting director, I mean, to me, Meteoric doesn't do justice. I mean, amazing, really, all that you've accomplished. Very good. Very good. I appreciate having you on. Very good.
Well, thank you, Marty, and thank you for sharing your just great history of the game every weekend. I think it's just really refreshing, your take on the whole thing, and I enjoy listening to you every week.
I appreciate it. Well, you know, I have a similar story before we let you go, AmericanInnings.org. We just started it, and it tells U.S. history through the eyes of baseball. And our goal is to make vignettes, 3 to 4 minutes each, of my interviews over all these years, and put some pictures behind it and make it part of a high school history curriculum or junior high or junior college, wherever, to teach U.S. history through the eyes of baseball. So that's what we're doing. And I agree with you. We've got to reach out to the youth, and this is the way we're doing it, by the stories that I tell. So I think we have something in common.
Well, I love it, man. Thanks again for all you do.
All right, very good. All right, that's Larry Harper. More coming up, KMBR 680, the sports leader.